Hey, Katie.
Teresa Marie. sounded like.
Well, yeah, no, I don't know. I lost my voice, so it's coming back.
Very typical for you.
Very typical for me. Yeah, it's just from yapping, honestly, from being away. I know, I was like actually sick over the weekend while I was away.
Well, that's fine.
I'm feeling better now, but my voice is like in and out. I think I've just like had like a sinus. I don't really want to call it a sinus infection because like I wasn't like congested. I had like my like throat was thick.
I
had like some mucus. Ugh. But like I wasn't like I didn't like I'm not congested. So I don't know. I guess I have a throat infection is what we're going to call it.
Ugh.
And it definitely didn't help that I was like out and like not taking care of myself for like three and a half days.
That's all right, though.
That's all right, though. It was a good time. It was worth it. And I survived. Now I'm here.
And now we're here. I'm a little sweaty. I went on my run this morning because my days are so packed. And I literally got a ping. I keep my phone on loud so I can hear things come through. I mean, I'm allowed a lunch break, but still.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like from this one person who was the only person who could help me with this major escalation. So I was like, motherfucker. So I'd like turn back around, go home. So I was like, I have 30 minutes. That's it. To finish this damn run. So you can't tell, but I'm glistening.
I'm not.
You're wrapped in a blanket. I'm sitting here like, where is the AC?
I'm always wrapped in a blanket. It'll be like 90 degrees out. And like, I don't feel complete if I don't like have a blanket on my lap.
I will say when you're sitting.
Yeah.
That's weird. Something just like fell in the closet, but there's.
Oh, I was like, are you going to finish that? that thought?
Yeah, no, I was like, what is just like, it just sounded like something like rolled off something, which I don't know why. I haven't touched that closet in forever. Yeah, no, I always have like a blanket. I'm normally in a sweatshirt no matter what. Because when you're sitting at a desk and like, because like if you like when you say like, oh, like our house is at like 71, 72, like that's not, it's comfortable, I would say. But when you're not moving,
mm-hmm.
you get a little chilly.
Yeah, it just like feels nice to be like comfy and cozy.
It does. It does. I can't wait for the weather where like there's no humidity and this 80 degree shit goes away so we can start cracking the windows again. Because there's no better sleep than like a cool, crisp breeze in through the windows type of sleep.
You know, I'm not typically a crack the windows kind of gal.
No, you sleep with a full fucking sweatshirt, socks, sweatpants, and 17 comforters. So yes.
Also, our house faces like the street. I mean, our bedroom window. So like we hear everything outside, and like our neighbors. Some of them like work like weird hours. So, like we hear them like leaving at like 3 a.m. or like coming home. So no, I do agree with you. I like it during the day. Like at night, I'm like, let's lock up. Let's get this fucking AC and or heat on. Like I am ready.
I'm ready.
But I'm a weirdo who also like keeps my blinds closed like 90% of the day and uses just like natural light or sits in the dark. So
yeah, no, I will say like when we walk past, I get it. We live in a townhouse, but it's called Hidden Village for a reason because we are pretty offset from the street, like the complex I'm in. Mm-hmm. And I always say to Tom, I'm like, the people who have their shade shut all day, every day, I'm suspicious of you. Why?
Yeah, that's me. That's me. my mom and my aunt were talking shit about people who do that back in like August when I was visiting my aunt. And I was like, I might open the blinds in the back of the house. Like the ones in the front are shut. Like, yeah. I only open them if, like, there's a holiday and we're using, like, the dining room.
Nope. Tom knows the minute I'm downstairs, he'll even say, he's like, I'll be coming home from the gym, and you could see through these windows when, like, the sun's down. He's like, if those blinds are up, I know Katie's up, because yeah. I'm just like a, like, look in. I don't care if you want to see my kitchen. I will put pants on if I'm walking around the kitchen, but everything is open. I will say the back, like there's nothing, you can't see anything back here. So those are always open.
The back of my house, I always have like the sliding glass door. I have that.
You do.
Those blinds have open. But everything else, I can't help it. I don't know. Freaks me out.
Speaking of like creeping things out. So I was just on a call an hour ago. And the guy that's always on for like a specific team has a black room. Every wall is black.
Okay.
And this is like a, he's a senior director. So like one, you wouldn't just like call out, if you will. So like we're chatting, like because he's helping a lot more with this one particular client. And I had some sugar in my system. We got to like talking because it was just me, him, and one other person while we were waiting for my senior director. And we were talking about backgrounds. And I was like, well, since you brought it up, I need to understand the way his camera is set up. It's like you can see ceiling and walls. Everything's black. Everything's black. So I'm like, this is either like, I was like, I know we're not recording, but like, is it your murder room? Is it like, are you into like creepy, spooky, gothic shit? Pissing his pants. I was like, I'm sorry for like calling you out. Like it's just the three of us and we're not recording. I need to know.
And what did he say?
So he was like, I'll show you a picture of like what this room was in its prime. Yeah. I was like, I'm really hoping you're into creepy, weird gothic shit, because I love black walls too. But like, I'm talking with you, throw some like wood accents in there, and like you get like a mystical ambiance, if you will. So he's like,
yeah.
He was also laughing. He did like some crazy shit with podcasts. I have to like look it up. I wrote it down because like you don't just have crazy, like in the picture there was like crazy equipment. I'm like, you don't just have like this kind of equipment.
Yeah.
In a specific room in your house.
Not all painted black if you're like...
And he was able to walk away from a like a corporate job to do this and help small businesses like succeed in something. And like he did come back to corporate because of like the demand of everything. But yeah. I'm like, huh. Like not the one that I was going with.
You know, you're going to have to report back after you do your research.
I will definitely do my research. I'm curious.
I mean, the creepiness is kind of like a great segue into getting into Taurus Season by Bryn Weaver, which is her first book in her newest trilogy.
Yes.
Obviously, if you're familiar with Bryn Weaver, Butcher of Blackbird, Leather and Lark, Scythe and Sparrow. So just like fun serial killer romantic comedies. Well,
it's lighthearted serial killer murders or romances.
Yeah. And like the thing that I appreciate about this, because again, they're supposed to be lighthearted, of course, is that there's like really like no, I'm trying to like figure out how I'm going to put this. Like the stakes are really low. Like they are like, these people would 100% be caught.
Yes.
If this was like a real murder, but like they're like so, bad serial killers.
I will say, I felt like Butcher and Blackbird.
That one, yes.
That one, they were like legit. You will never catch those two.
Right.
Everyone else. But I will say, and especially in this one, I feel like that adds to the atmosphere of the read. Like, they're not good. Someone's good in the story. Someone has covered their tracks, if you will. And we really don't have a clear answer for that piece of the puzzle yet.
No.
I have some suspicions. I'm sure you do as well.
Yeah.
But our main characters... I will 100% say, besides, I think our female main character does, because of her rules of, like, you don't murder locals. Like, people notice if your neighbor goes missing more times than not, right?
Yeah.
Like, if someone's passing through, there's no one really maybe looking for them, if you will. Like, they're a good target.
Yeah.
I think she could maybe coast, and she has. He has too, but like I don't know how he's been able to escape the law because I just
are we talking Arthur or Nolan?
Nolan, I'm sorry, Nolan. I don't know how he very much has.
So, like I think Nolan. I'm feeling the opposite. I'm like Nolan has killed like I mean, I guess four people now at this point, but I think it was just like three guys that were responsible for
his brother
the accident.
Yes,
but like if you okay, like this is a tourist town. There's only 4,000 people who live there, I think Harper says. Imagine if, like, I don't know, like, four people a year go to this town and wind up missing. Like, why are people still going to Cape Carnage?
Why are still people going to Cape Carnage? Yeah. No, you're right. I will say, the sheriff from the get-go, I was like, something's up.
Yeah, because especially when they kept bringing up how he was, like, incompetent.
Yes. I was like, he really is either going to be the world's worst sheriff.
Yeah.
Or he might be someone that we will meet in another book.
Yeah. And like the
unknown.
not to jump to the end, because we'll obviously go through and like discuss what we think.
This is what we do, though. We always go right to the end.
We always go to the end because that's the part that's like fun to discuss. So it ends on like a cliffhanger where I'm like, okay, so book two will also be about Harper and Noel, because I feel like we didn't really get like a.
They're gonna have to be tied in somehow, right? Because like, okay, so let's take a couple steps back from the end, then we'll go right back to the end. So in that one house, I forget whose house it is. Some guy falls, right?
Are you talking about? It's like the it was like a distillery, and like they're redoing it, and they're like, yeah.
So he falls.
The guy who was doing the documentary.
Yes. And please correct me if I'm wrong, because it's been a minute since I listened to this, which the audio, it hands down, is fantastic.
Well, yeah.
They leave because they hear a car roll up. They're like, we got to leave the body.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we don't know who rolls up. And it just seemed like too easy of a getaway, if you will. We get like a glimpse of someone walking up. We just don't know who that person is.
Say, my interpretation was it's the sheriff, because then when the drone guy ends up like coming to, he goes there and the sheriff kills him.
Yes. I thought it was the sheriff also. But he's not.
But yeah, well, you don't know 100%, right?
So clearly, to me, the sheriff is someone, which like makes sense, right? Because even like the questions he's asking Nolan, like he's alluding to something in his questions. He knows more than what he's letting on, but he's also letting Nolan know he knows more than what he's saying. Mm-hmm. We just don't know why. I will say, so to your point, like with the ending, I feel like we have to, I don't know if they're going to be like the main focus, but there's got to be some kind of focus, right?
Well, so it's a trilogy. Before I got to the end, my interpretation was that Arthur's son would be in the next book, and that there's like a girl that's mentioned that like left town. And like, I was like, okay, so the next book will be like a new couple.
That's right.
And a continuation of what's going on in this town, because then they call themselves like the sleuthsayers.
Yes, the sleuthsayers. Yeah.
It's like a Reddit group, and they basically like
they're coming to Cape Cod.
Investigate. Yeah, they investigate like unsolved murders and serial killers and things like that. And when the two guys from like the sleuthsayer group go missing in Cape Carnage, there's like a call to arms that they all go to Cape Carnage and try to figure out what happened.
Yeah, so they're coming. They're coming to town.
They're coming to town. So before it ended, I was like, okay, it's going to continue of like this group, but it's going to be a new couple like as the focus, but like the story's going to continue. But it ends with like Nolan figuring out who Harper is, but he never confronts her. Like there's never a moment between the two of them that it like wraps up their story. So I have to assume that the next book is also led by Harper and Nolan.
Right? That's the only thing that makes sense.
So are all three books then a good...
I thought we were going to get three couples.
But now I don't know. And yes, maybe Bryn has said this and like we just missed it. But I have to assume that it has to be Harper and Nolan again.
Agreed. Plus, I mean, is it Arthur's son or is it his nephew?
I don't know, but
it's guy. But I will say, like, I feel like he might need to be brought in, if you will,
mm-hmm.
because they now have a bigger issue aside from just the drone guy and the documentary guy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, then to your point, like, we now know who our female main character truly is. Nolan has to confront her about that, and they have to speak about it.
Yeah.
And we don't know for sure who, what's the serial killer that was in town that, like, all of a sudden disappeared?
I want to say it was, like, Plume, but I could be wrong.
Like, LaRue or something, I can't remember. But, like, they kept saying Arthur is not LaPlume. I think you're right. I think it's LaPlume.
Yeah.
Which I do feel like that would be too easy to make Arthur LaPlume, personally.
Well, because LaPlume killed Arthur's daughter.
Yes.
So, yeah, so that obviously wouldn't make sense, but I thought that, like, LaPlume was... the whole time I thought he was dead. I thought Arthur killed him.
Me too.
So I'm assuming that there might be, like... You know how, like, Harper is also a murderer, but so is Arthur? So, like, there's two of them?
Yeah.
I'm assuming that LaPlume was, like, two guys. Or, like...
Oh, maybe. I also want to know what the story really is about the daughter. Because something's fishy there also.
Yeah.
And even the, what's the female main character's name? I'm sorry.
Harper.
Harper, thank you. Even with her, we still don't have her full story either.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. She was driving the car, maybe. But like she, again, she also keeps saying, you don't know the whole thing.
I don't think she was driving the car. I think that she witnessed what happened.
Yes.
And she immediately, because like she, okay, so Harper's like backstory is like her and her boyfriend, they had like redid a camper van and they were traveling around and they were like kind of like travel influencers, if you will. And they're taken in basically by another serial killer. Her boyfriend is killed. She's basically rescued by Rowan and Sloan.
Yeah.
And Butcher and Blackbird. And she gets away. So my assumption, and then like, and then at that point, I think the infamy of it was like too much. And she like kind of like changed her identity. So I feel like she witnessed this happening, did leave Nolan and his brother because she like saw an opportunity for herself to take the identity of this other girl.
Yeah.
Who is definitely dead.
Yes.
So I think that's where she's like, oh, he has a right to hate me because I did technically leave him.
Yes.
And I think she did drive away in the car, but I don't think she was the one that was like originally driving the car.
I agree. So again, okay. A lot of unanswered questions here.
Yeah.
Personally, I love Butcher and Blackbird, but like the more I sat on this, this might be my favorite Bryn Weaver book so far.
Okay. I'm going to say this is my second favorite.
That's what I originally said.
Yeah.
Butcher and Blackbird. I did a TikTok. So I was like, this might be my second favorite. Now I'm like, is this my first? I don't know. It's so hard to decide.
I think it's going to really depend on how the second one is, like how they follow up with it and like True. How the story goes.
True.
Because again, like I'm not, I saw somebody like write a review and they're like, this would never happen. Like, but, and I'm like, yeah, like, but I'm not reading these Bryn Weaver books because I'm like thinking like, that they're, I mean, again, like, yes, Butcher and Blackbird, I feel like could have actually been, I mean, there are silly parts, but I feel like they could have actually been serial killers.
I agree.
This one, I'm like,
you would not get away with this.
No, I'm suspending a lot of disbelief on the serial killer part, but it makes sense because they're like, oh yeah, like, we live in this town and like, the sheriff kind of sucks and like, nobody looks into anything and it's like, whatever. So like, I don't know, maybe they just think they're good serial killers because their sheriff is also a psychopath.
Like, yeah, taking tabs on everything and, like, knows exactly what's going on, but just, like, is letting it go.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, she's, like, a wood chipper. And, like, that's how the book starts, right? She's, like, throwing body parts into a wood chipper. And it's spitting out.
Yeah.
On the other end. I'm like, this would be, like, the messiest clean. There would be DNA everywhere. She's feeding the friggin' crow the dead body parts. Like,
yes.
God forbid the crow fly away and, like, drop, like, a finger. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
also just, like, the smell alone.
Yeah. Her friends are just walking into her house.
Yeah.
It's broad daylight. She's throwing body parts into a wood chipper.
But again, I feel like Bryn writes the story enough where
it
is so not believable. But it's believable.
But it's enjoyable.
It's enjoyable. Yeah. Like, it's not silly stupid. It's just, like, lighthearted, fun, like, this is fucking great.
It's not supposed to be, like, this, like, big, dark, like,
no.
Mystery whodunit. It's supposed to be lighthearted, fun, but with serial killers.
Yes.
I mean, we all remember when Rowan was literally eating ice cream that was made from human semen, like... It's supposed to be funny.
Exactly. Now, if you want a serial killer book that seems a little bit more plausible, the Mindfuck series is something I can 100% believe that is real.
Yeah. Yeah.
So give that a go if you want to.
I mean, I definitely recommend that wholeheartedly.
Like, I think we blacked out for a week.
I just remember like being like, guys, I'm going to finally start this. And then being like, oh my God, you have to start it. And I think I read it all within 24 hours.
Yes, same.
It's so good.
Yes.
Wow. Yes. Sorry, I got an ear piercing.
I saw you, Erica got one. Where'd you get yours?
It's just like in like the middle.
Oh, okay.
But it's just like these headphones keep like, pushing. But then when I put it behind my ear too, like that also, it's just like in a weird position. I should just take the headphones off. But you know what? It's
YOLO.
Fine. YOLO. Now we're off topic about my ear piercing. My sister-in-law and I got our ears pierced this weekend. And last night, I was like, did you get a tattoo or your or like a piercing or something? And I was like, I got my ear pierced. And he's like, let me see it. And I was like, you wouldn't. And then I even said, I was like, you wouldn't have noticed this. And he was like, no, you're right. And I was like, that's why I wasn't going to say anything. I was just going to wait. And then like 3 years from now, it would come up and I'd be like, yeah. I'm like, and he was like, oh yeah, that was cute. I'm like, yeah, exactly.
What do you need to do that for?
Right. My brother was like, what are you guys doing out there? I'm like, we're two girls who wanted to get a fucking ear piercing. You guys are acting like we literally like got like our freaking like clits pierced. Or, like they're literally acting. It was like crazy. I'm like, I got another hole in my ear.
Big whoop. We've come home with stupid tattoos.
I was going to say, we've come home with a lot worse than an ear piercing. Yeah. Which Gil was like, yeah, no, fine. But my mom was like, what did you girls do? I'm like, and then I showed her.
If you're not grown adults in your mid to late 30s.
Yeah. As if Erica didn't turn 39 this week.
And can't get her dang ears pierced.
Yeah, like we're allowed to get our ears pierced. It's okay.
Oh my God, so funny. Speaking of spooky areas, though, Charleston.
Yes.
I feel like is a great setting for a serial killer spooky type of read. That place is phenomenal.
Charleston is so cute and it is so spooky. And at the very least, ghost tour. Like one of the books that you like where it's like a phantom where like they fall in love with a ghost. Like I feel like Charleston would be a great setting.
Someone needs to write it.
Well, maybe you can.
You know, it's really funny that you say that. I have like many of an idea of how to like of what I think a good book could be. I'm sure you do too, right? Especially when it comes to like hockey. Like you could write a I bet you could lay out this is what I think, right? I think I could lay out the dream board, if you will, the vision board for what I'd want a spooky, creepy, ghost, witchy, paranormal romance book to be.
Yeah.
Could I then write like good banter and dialogue and development for growth of characters to get us from point A to point B? I don't think so.
No, that's how I feel. Again, so off topic. I've been thinking about it. Like I couldn't write it, but I was like, oh, like, I don't know. I hate being like a more serious romance writer, but like a Tara DeWitt or like Emily Henry, like someone who like can like write like a really like heartfelt romance.
You could do that.
No, but like I couldn't do it, but I was like, oh, I would love to see like, it's, I mean, we talk about this all the time. So like the fertility aspect, I'm like an already married couple who's going through like a fertility journey. So it's not like they're like, and it's not tearing them apart. Like I would just like love to see like a romance, like where it's like a real like life thing that could happen.
Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, we broke up because it was so hard. Now we're getting back together. Yeah. Like, I want to see them like go, like be together and then like work through it all together. And like the, obviously the issue isn't their relationship. It's like the shit that they've gone through. And I'm like, that would be such a good story, but I don't know how I would write that.
That would actually be phenomenal. So I think that's really good. I think, honestly, I feel like if we really wanted to.
Yeah.
Together, we probably could.
Yes.
I had like a similar idea too. Cause like everyone's going to laugh at me. Everyone's going to laugh at me. You're going to laugh at me. You know how we were the first to be like, stop saying it's like a this plus that type of read. Like it's like, yeah. You like actor. I can give us in my mind a Practical Magic vibe.
Okay.
Type of read. However, it's so I guess maybe not really. I was thinking about the other day. Cause like you, like, when you are in the thick of it with your fucking children, right? Like you are trying to do fucking everything as the mom more times than not. I'm not saying dads out there don't have that type of pressure, but
no,
like,
but it's yeah.
Honest, it falls a lot more to moms. It's set back in the day. I was thinking like 1800s, maybe a little bit earlier, depending.
Okay.
In the Northeast, so you had the Salem witch trials, like right after, like right before this time frame. Like that was my mindset. This was me at 2 o'clock in the morning the other night because I couldn't sleep because of a work issue.
Mm-hmm.
It would start with a woman writing entries in her diary. She had because the more children you have, you are typically more stressed. Let's just call that the fuck out. So she has twins. She was gifted twins. She feels blessed, happy. She's home. Her children are happy and healthy. All's well. It starts good, right? And positive. But then all of a sudden, like the next couple of entries start to, the postpartum kicks in, if you will, right?
Yes.
So then you start to see a little bit more of like the spiraling thoughts. You are now sleep deprived. Your husband has to go to work. You're home caring for the children. And women back then in the day didn't always have like the help that we have nowadays. It was you and your babies, and that was it.
Yeah.
You couldn't produce milk. How are they going to eat? Like, things like that. And like, you start to get the monologue of like, I'm a bad mom. I'm starting to spiral. You don't know what to do. Like, your husband is helpful, but like, it's still, you're tacking on all this extra weight. As the entries go on, she's praying. Cause again, back in those days, you typically were of some kind of Christian based religion, and prayer was what you did. I had this all mapped out at 3 a.m. I thought I was a fucking, I thought I could rock this out of the park. I was laughing to myself, but I woke up tomorrow. I was like, you can't do this. She starts to spiral. She's praying for guidance, praying for like the ease to allow her children to sleep, you know, like every fucking desperate parent, right? So then all of a sudden you start to see these, like a switch in the diaries where she's just praying to anyone or anything that would listen. And that's when it starts to turn, that a raven starts to deliver like handwritten, they don't know where they're coming from. And I don't know if that would even make sense, but like just like some kind of remedy, if you will, to help the baby sleep.
Okay.
To make water boil instantly, like to start taking the burden off of motherhood, right? So you can be more present as a mother. She's speaking in like her diary about how like she's finding these, I'm not going to call them spells, but like another word for it, if you will. And then all of a sudden, a mother comes to her late at night and is like begging for help. She's like, I saw you foraging, like you're putting trinkets together, you're doing something. I need help. My child has a fever. So she says, this will probably screw me, but I'm going to help a mother that is trying to do anything for her sick baby. So she makes her, this woman, like a tonic, cures the baby from fever. The baby is going to be okay because no one will die. No child will die in my book.
No, obviously.
So the baby's okay. However, now it's starting to bring people to her door, which then gets back to like the town, which there becomes, I like my ending entry was going to be like her husband confronts her. There's rumors going around town. She feels pinned against. And then like her last entry is like, if it comes down to me or them, it's going to be me. And then it's present day. So there's like, you come to find out there's a like curse a time over jump. The town. Yeah. Because she was convicted of being a witch. So like, I don't know. I just had like this cool whole premonition of like what this could be. And like now this girl, like, and then I had like a whole intro and that was all I had.
I was like, and now somebody's going to write it and we're going to be like copywritten on 10/7 at 4:28 p.m.
Yeah.
But this like, is Katie's
like,
book.
I was like this diary entry of like a mom spiraling with her thoughts and postpartum and just desperate for any help or relief. Like I was like, so many people can relate to this.
So many people can relate.
And then like her curse, which like, again, in practical magic, there's a curse over like whatever. I was like her, because she is then murdered more or less. Like it becomes like a curse on the land. And like the female main character of the story would be like a descendant of her, if you will.
Yeah.
Coming back to inherit like a grand, like a parents or some grandparents like type of like house, and like she needed a fresh start anyway because that's how you get them back to town.
Hell yeah.
I don't know how the male main character got there because that's all I got at 2 a.m.
Well, don't worry guys, she'll be back next week with more information.
Probably won't. That was like it was just like, again, like those things that you can think that you could do in the middle of the night and you wake up, you're like, what am I doing?
No, I feel that. I mean, we're so off topic from this book.
Oh, it's man, like I know. Actually it's so funny too, because we loved the story. We both loved it.
No, I know. I was going to start telling another story, but I'm like, you know what? Let's try to get back. Because like, we didn't even talk about like how funny the relationship is between Nolan and Harper. He's like, I want to kill her. I'm like obsessed with her. She's like immediately like smitten with him, but she's like, oh, he hates me.
He hates
me. But like, I kind of want to fuck him.
But you know what I loved in this instance with him is like, you heard his internal monologue.
Mm-hmm.
So you understood like, there's something about her. I want to murder her because of what she did to me and my family. But like the growth of him throughout and how like he starts to realize like, okay, maybe she was behind the wheel. Like maybe there's a reason she like, I don't know. Like he tries like reasoning out in his brain.
Because he's like, the more he gets to know her, the more he's like, she's not a bad person. So like, if this happened, there has to be more to her story. Because I cannot believe that she would just like leave two people dying on the side of the road.
Yeah. And he's like, even like, she did keep telling me that like, I'm not the person you think I am. And like all this stuff. So.
Yeah.
I thought this was spun in a really nice, lighthearted. You know what I liked of this too is like, if for a romance, like had a romance book, she pulled in like I feel like there's strings left untethered, right? So, like, we need to, like, finish mm-hmm. things up. But, like, she kept you busy with thinking about everything going on, not just like, okay, we're getting a romance with two people and that's that. And okay, sure, you kill that person. But, like, let's just keep, like, Arthur's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
He was incredible. I loved him. I love how he, like, he tricked Nolan to get into, like, his murder bag. And she's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh my God. But also, can we just comment on Arthur really quick? Because we've had this conversation where we're like, why does, like, how many books have we read where there's an elderly character with Alzheimer's or dementia?
It's like a new thing. It's a new thing everyone's writing about.
It's crazy. And I mean, like, I'm not saying anything bad about it, but I feel like it's just, like, the new thing to have, like, an elderly character with.
I will say I just finished another audiobook where they're trying to find a cure for Alzheimer's.
Yeah, which that would be great. Let's try to definitely do that. But yeah, I feel like I've read 5 or 6 books this year, which is a lot.
Yeah.
To have that,
I think
trope.
Like, and you could personally speak to this a bit more than I, but, like, people are always, I think a lot of people tend to use dementia and Alzheimer's interchangeably. That is,
yeah, they do.
Different diseases. Mm-hmm. And I think there's just a lot more light nowadays than, like, oh, you've got dementia. Like, you just, like, no, like, I mean, they, yeah. Like, even, like, with my grandmother who passed, like, they say that she had dementia, but, like, did she? Like,
like, a lot of forms of dementia.
Yeah.
That, too, is, like, the kind that, like, I don't know, like, some people, there's just, like, a lot of different kinds, and it affects different yes. parts of your brain. So, like, some, like, I mean, obviously, memory loss is definitely an issue, like, with all of them, but it's also, like, motor skills and, like, just, like, bodily functions in general and, like, speech and things like that, too. So I feel like, I mean, like, I definitely think that some books do it well. I'm not gonna, like, I don't, it doesn't, like, offend me, like, but I feel like in this scenario, it's, like, not used as, like, a way to be, like, oh, like, shed light on, like, it's just, like, a way to have, like, kind of, like, a funny character and, like, a side plot.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, is fine. I would rather that, because Bryn's not here trying to make, like, a commentary on, like, a terrible disease, right? Like, I assume that more of this disease is going to play a part in, like, the future. It would piss me off if she was, like, writing about it and, like, doing, like, it a disservice.
Yes.
Because I just feel like we just shouldn't do that in general.
No.
With, like, diseases at all, like, any disease. But, like, I do think, like, obviously Arthur's in the beginning stages of it where he still is, like, very cognizant and just has, like, moments of, like, dissonance. And obviously, like, you know, he's a serial killer who doesn't have all of his faculties about him, which is very dangerous.
Just a smidge
dangerous. But he's, like, so, like, it's so endearing. Like, he brings Harper in when she's, like, lost and has nowhere to go, and basically starts treating her like his daughter, you know, which is wonderful. Like, that he, like, you know, she found a place to go after, like, being going through a really horrific time in her life. And he's also kind of a psychopath.
A smidge. And makes her just one. A smidge.
Takes one to know one in these books.
Takes one to know one in these books is for sure the correct answer here. But even, like, I don't know. I'm just, like, very excited to see, like, what the sleuth slayers do, like, what they're going to play in, like, a role. Like, that's a crowd of people that's about to show up. Like,
I kind of, like, wonder if they will, like, join forces with Harper and Nolan, like, against La Plume.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know.
Well, because, like,
I feel like,
too, like, I think as much they wanted to blow the lid on, like, who La Plume really was, mm-hmm. they were also very intrigued by Harper's past story as well, which, like, he obviously had a picture of Harper, so, like, from the get-go, kind of knew, like, she was and who she was saying she was.
Yeah.
Which, like, why they found the car, like, the tie, like, all this other stuff, so it's, like, I don't know. I'm very intrigued, if you will. If it was, like, documentary form, it'd actually be very good. Or, like, even, like, podcast form, if you will. It was just written very well. Like, she had, like, she's great in Butcher of Blackbird and, like, that whole series. But I just feel like she, like, I love when you see, like, an author, like, level themselves up. Like, from already being good, and now they're, like, ooh, you're getting even better.
Yeah. I also, like, think it's funny because I've only ever listened to Bryn Weaver's books via audio. And this is your first audiobook of hers?
No, I've listened to Butcher and Blackbird. And no, I read Butcher and Blackbird. Yeah. And I listened to Leather and Lark. and Skyth and Sparrow.
You did listen to Skyth and Sparrow?
Yeah, I think. Did I? I don't remember.
I think you did Leather and Lark because I was like, oh, my mom said it was weird because it was like weird laughter and giggling.
Maybe I read Leather and Lark. Did I read all those books? I don't know. I barely read. So hold on. I can tell.
No, I know, but that's why I think that, I mean, go back and look, but I think that we were the opposite on that series.
I think so.
And I think that Brynn's books do so well in this format of audio versus, sorry, I have to approve like certain things. Hold out. I doubt it. There's definitely a man shopping for my groceries right now because like he's like, oh, I can't find the broccoli rabe. Okay, sure. Okay,
sure. I don't believe you.
Anyway, sorry. Brynn Weaver's books are done so well in like the audio format that like I don't think I will ever eyeball read her books.
Yeah, this was phenomenal.
And like I did, like obviously Samantha Brentmore, so she does Harper, and then Robert Hatchett does Nolan, or like I guess all the males. But I didn't realize that he also did How My Neighbor Stole Christmas. He was like the male narrator in that book, I think.
I didn't put that together either, and he did.
I didn't either until let me see title details. He's one of the narrators.
Oh, okay.
But no, I had never heard of him before. But he did a really good job.
I can't believe this. I did not. I listened to everything on audio. This is the one series that I did not listen to. That's so intriguing.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I listened to them while you didn't. And it was like we were opposites because I'm always the one who's eyeballing.
Yeah.
So like I think that you enjoyed this more because her books are like so much better on audio because like.
The narrator's not. It's the narrator. They're like an Alex Fink, if you will. Like, do I think those books in eyeball format are probably terrific? Yes. Yeah. But there's something that Alex Fink does with her. But like, there is magic seeping. She's a siren.
Yeah.
You know? Like, she can. I would love to hear her narrate like every book I possibly could listen to. But that was done really well.
But like, I don't know. I think that it's like the duet is great. The narrators she chooses are amazing. And I think it's just her books come across a lot more fun because of the way that the narrators, like, I think she works with the narrators well and probably, you know, gives them like,
this is how I envisioned them in my head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm with you.
So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I gave it 4 stars. I really, really enjoyed it.
4.5 stars. I was like, this slayed for me.
It was just fun, like all around, like I just had a good time with it. And honestly, I'm excited for the next one. Now I want to know more.
I'm very excited. I feel like I've kind of hit, what have I read recently? I feel like recently I've just been like really delivering on the good reads. Like, I don't know. Yeah. There's something besides maybe 3 books.
Well, I feel like because you are reading more, like, or I don't want to say you, we both are reading more of like books that we want versus books that are like given to us.
Yes.
And I'm not complaining about.
Not complaining, but I think you get to a point where like we've dabbled in a lot of different. We say this all the time, right? So sorry for beating a dead horse here. But like if you dabble in a bunch of different genres, you start to kind of find like what you gravitate towards. Mm-hmm. And you also find your people who you know you can trust. Like if you see someone that read something and you know like they liked it, like chances are if you vibe with that, like, I don't know. There's some people who you know you're going to get like a good rec from. So that's kind of, I feel like, where you and I have landed.
Yeah. I didn't really read a lot this weekend because I was traveling. So actually, when I say I didn't read a lot, I mean, I didn't read at all. Today's the first day that I read. Friday was a travel day and I spent the 90-minute flight listening to The Life of a Showgirl 3 times. And then the flight home yesterday, I spent those like 90 minutes also listening to The Life of a Showgirl over and over and over again because I have to learn it and I'm dedicated to that. But now that I'm home, I can listen to Life of a Showgirl and read separate times because I can't pay attention to both. But travel and being out and whatever, I did not have time to even open my Kindle.
I read 2 books recently, and we'll talk about our spilling the tea is late in the month.
Yeah, so we'll have a lot to review.
We'll have a lot to recap, but I will say we were going to do Lila Sage's new book.
Mm-hmm.
We friggin' love her as a human being. She's phenomenal. I want her as a best friend.
Yeah.
We were not obsessively in love with the first series she wrote.
No.
Dare I say one of the books I was like, I know. When I say I am obsessed with Soul Searching.
Okay.
I feel like she poured her like whole soul into this book.
Okay.
You could tell that there's no doubt in my mind that she likes spooky type of ghost towns. I almost get the vibe that like the female main character, if you will, has a little bit of her in it. I could be so off my mark and people could be laughing in my face because I don't know Lila Sage like that. But like,
oh, you don't?
I don't. But like, I just feel like when you read it, if you felt like we did for her first series and then you get to this book, I think this was a passion project. That's the vibe I get. And I, you know what? I fucking commend her for it. Her characters had fantastic development and growth. The story very much made sense. It read a bit, like the characters were also like mature, if you will. Like I would reread this.
Okay.
That's how much I liked it.
Are you eyeballing it or audiobooking it?
I eyeballed this.
Okay. Because sometimes I do think it makes a difference.
It does make a difference. And I was like, you know what? At the end of the day, as much as I love, I will be the first to scream at an audiobook. But sometimes the voice that you give the characters in your head can dictate how much you like a book, right? Like, so if I heard something, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do an eyeball read and like trust my brain to like take what's being written and put it into like how I'm going to hear it. And I think I made the right call.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to get into bed every night to read this. I'm just going to say that. It was really freaking good. So if you felt like us for her first series, she deserves a little bit like of a bow. I'm not going to lie.
Okay. Okay. Well, that will inspire me, I think, to read it then.
I think I envision you giving it like a 4-star.
Okay.
That's
I trust you.
Yeah, I know you do.
I do want to take like 5 minutes. I feel like it would be remiss if we didn't talk about it. And I honestly, we didn't talk about it. So I have no idea your opinion on it, but The Life of a Showgirl.
Okay, I was gonna say we should have talked about this because I was. Yeah. I thought when we were talking about it, I was like, should I ask her? Where are we at?
So I think so. I again, like I said, I was really checked out this weekend, like literally checked out. So I did not realize that it was like not being received that well online.
No, it was
which not. The Tortured Poets Department was also really poorly received online the first week it came out. Like I remember like listening to it and being like, are people like insane and like whatever. So I listened to The Life of a Showgirl. I think I listened to it like 3 to 4 I think I listened to 4 times on Friday. And then throughout the weekend, my sister-in-law, God bless her, she'd be like, let's put it on when we get ready. I loved it. I was like, this is so fun. Like, is it my favorite Taylor Swift album? No. Is it in my top 5? No. But like it's the same thing like when I say like, oh, like people mean on vacation is not my favorite Emily Henry book. It doesn't mean I think it's bad. I just think there's better books. Like this book is not my favorite. It's not in my top 5. It might be in my top 7 out of 12. Like it might be even lower. I don't know. I honestly haven't like lived with it yet. I don't think it'll, I think it's definitely on like the, like it's like 6 or it's like 6 or lower, but I'm really liking it.
So I think too, we were getting, we're going to speak like we know Taylor Swift, which I'm going to
I do at. Know her spiritually.
She writes based on what she's feeling and experiencing, right?
Yeah.
So first off, to the haters out there, this is a girl that's finally in fucking love. So just like, respect that.
Right.
She's in love. She's ready. And like, I think it now speaks volumes like what she was saying on her on the podcast with Travis and Jason. It's like, this is she. What girl doesn't, most girls, I can't say all, most girls just want to find their true love, right? Like everyone just wants their happy.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine that all Taylor's ever wanted for herself is just someone to love her and for her to love them, right? Like
That's her entire career has been based on finding love since she was 16 years old, writing Teardrops on My Guitar. Yes.
So she found it. So she wrote a freaking album about it. So you know what? It's a fucking bop. It's a fun time.
Yeah. That's
just her, like, I feel like it's just like her soul finally like showing that it's happy and like healthy and like, and not just like happy, like for what it is, like, truthfully just like, this is like, he clearly gets her. She gets him. They're like, they're best friends. Like, it's just what she's been waiting for her whole life. So at the end of the day, like, because she's not writing insane lyrics to like express emotion and like how tortured she is and like how raw and like, just because she's not bearing her soul of like how much she's been hurt doesn't mean that it's a, you're right. It's, is it a fantastic? No, but it's a fucking good time.
And like, the thing is too, like, I'm sorry. First of all, this is her 12th album. 9 of her albums have all been more upbeat pop sounding. So like, my one friend who just like became a fan during the Eras tour, she's like a Folklore, like, she was like, oh, Folklore was like the first album of hers I ever listened to.
No,
that is an outlier. Folklore, Evermore, Tortured Poets are outliers. They're amazing. They're three of her best albums. Like, but like, I fell in love with her, like, I mean, early on, but I'm like a, Folklore's my favorite album of all time across like any artist ever, but I'm a 1989 Reputation lover girly at heart. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
now 1989. I mean, we've also been following her since she first came out. So.
Yeah. So like, when this, like, when I listened to it, I was like, is this her best lyrical work? No, but I wasn't expecting another Tortured Poets department. Like, she told us it was going to be bops, and yes, you can have sad bops, of course. But I was like, no, she's a girl in love. She wrote this while she was on tour, while she was having a good time. She's giving us a true pop album that doesn't need to mean more than what it is, which is it's enjoyable. It feels good on my ears. I'm like listening to Honey and I'm like bopping around my kitchen. Like, I'm just having a good time with it.
Just having a good time.
And I don't know if, I mean, I think you'd remember because you were there, but other fans, like, I don't know if you guys remember when Reputation came out, because at that point, I mean, like, every album she's ever put out has been met with negativity off the bat.
Yes.
But, like, she followed up 1989, she took a 2-year hiatus, dropped Reputation. People did not like Reputation when it came out. And now it's, like, praised for being one of her best albums ever. But when it first came out, people were like, is she fucking kidding?
Yeah.
And even when Folklore came out, I remember my first listen was like, oh, this is so different. Like, I have to, like, reel myself in and be like, what am I hearing?
Yeah.
And now it's my favorite album ever. It only took me, like, 2 listens to be like, oh, this is a genius of an album. But if every album she put out sounded like Folklore or Tortured Poets, then none of it would be new and nothing would be special about it.
But I think that's the beauty of her, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're writing, she hit us with country. Like, you get the Reputation. You get 1989. You get some bops. You get some, like, Folklore type music. Like, you get, like, true tortured, like, sad baby music, which, like, some of her songs I can't listen to on a happy day because, like, they're not vibing with me.
Yeah.
That, I think, is what makes her such an incredible artist. Because
if you
write all those ranges, like, again, no shame to any artist out there, because I'm not a lyrical genius. I don't want every single, that's why I don't, like, listen to a lot of artists, because it's the same fucking shit, rinse and repeat.
Yeah. And, like, again, like, if you don't like it, that's okay. Like, I'm not like, oh, if you don't like it, that means that, like, you're stupid or you're dumb or whatever.
Each their own.
If you don't like it, that's literally fine. But I think, like, people being so hard on it,
yeah,
it's so crazy. Like, you could just, like, not like it and move on. Like,
yeah, don't listen to it.
There's a lot of things that I listened to that I didn't like, and I was like, you know what? Okay, I'm just gonna move on and, like, not download it or, like, delete it off my iTunes.
Yeah.
Also, literally a year and a half ago, she gave us 31 lyrically sad songs. I couldn't do with another 31. Like, I needed something upbeat.
And if you think about it, Folklore, Evermore.
Yeah.
And then Tortured Poets Department. That's, they were all freaking sad. If you were,
like,
going to deliver happiness at some point, I couldn't take much more.
Yeah,
I
loved
all those, but
I was going to say, Midnight's was between that.
Yeah.
And it was more, like, upbeat sound. And it was, like, but it was, like, synth. But it wasn't happy songs.
No.
So, like, I don't know. I'm, like, just, like, let this girl, like, I don't know. Like, let her, like, live her life. And again, maybe it's not for you right now. Maybe you're going through something. Listen to her other music. You don't have to listen to the new one just because it's the new one.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I liked it. I right now my favorites are, it's like really hard to keep changing. My favorites in no order are Honey, The Fate of Ophelia, and Life of a Showgirl, and Ruin the Friendship. But I also like Love Actually, Romantic and Wood, Opalite and Elizabeth Taylor are growing on me. Father Figure, everyone is loving it and I'm not yet. And I'm like waiting to get it.
I'm waiting for it too. I'm like, this is not my favorite.
Because False God, I did not like on Lover until like 2 years later. And I'm like, I fucking love False God. It's so almost like Father Figure. Yeah, it'll take time.
Right now, it's so funny because like they're all in a row besides the one. I love Fate of Ophelia. Again, no specific order was looking. Fate of Ophelia, yeah. I actually do like Opalite and I like Elizabeth Taylor. Actually, the first song when I was listening to like for the first time, there's always that one song that you're like, I'm definitely going to go back and listen to that one. Because it was Elizabeth Taylor. I was like, oh,
really?
No, I'm like,
that to me was Honey. And I was like, I feel like I'm going to end up hating Honey. Because I did that with Tortured Poets too. Like I really liked, I forget which song it was. And I'm like, I don't want to hear it anymore. But I think Honey is just so fun.
I think Honey's fun too. And I actually like Actually Romantic.
No, I like Actually Romantic too.
Yeah. Though they're like, I was
saying like, there's all, only.
Yeah. There's not that many.
And like Canceled, I Can Do Without.
I Can Do Without Canceled.
Eldest Daughter, I think is just like not correctly named. Because I don't think it has anything to do with being an eldest daughter. But I think, like, the bridge is, like, amazing.
Yeah.
Wishlist is growing on me. I think it's, like, kind of boppy. And then Father Figure, I like the end. I just don't like the chorus.
Okay.
I don't like that. I drink the brown liquor. I'm like, okay.
I'm like,
that's a stop. Yeah, I just don't like that part. But again, I think I just need to listen to it 85 more times and I'll probably be obsessed with, like, every song. But every album of hers besides Folklore, I skip songs on.
I was going to say, I feel like a lot of times but that's why I listen to them on repeat, come at me if you will. But like, I'm with you. Like, I have to listen to it a few times because like sometimes I feel like once you start like hearing the lyric, you're like, wait mm-hmm. a minute, wait mm-hmm. a minute. Like, I have like 3 emails left to send. I was like, I'm going to put it on and we're going to like copy paste a couple things and like send it on out.
Yeah.
I feel kind of good about it.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
That's all I got too. I mean, next week, where am I? What are we doing? I'm like, next week we'll talk more about the Taylor Swift album because I'll have more opinions. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
No, next week we are interviewing author Willow Astor and we will be reviewing Take This Heart. Right? That's the name of the book.
Yes.
Okay. Oh my God.
Yes.
The way you faced, I was like, wait, no, Take This Heart. On the 22nd, we will be reviewing Mate by Allie Hazelwood. And then on the 28th, the 29th, my bad, Spilling the Tea.
And feel excited.
And then that's the end of the month.
Just don't do that to me. When October ends, I get a little depressed. I'm not going to
actually, I'm looking forward to October being over.
I know.
But yeah, that's it. So next week, like I said, Take This Heart by Willow Astor. I believe it comes out on Thursday.
I think you're right. I do remember.
I think it comes out on the 9th.
Yeah.
So you guys have all weekend to listen to it or read it. I don't know why I said listen to it. Either or, whatever you feel like, whatever tickles your fancy. But anyway, on that note, Katie Jean, can you do us the honors, please?
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, fuckers.